Crime Detection has produced no more famous name than that of Sexton Blake. We present William Franklin as Sexton Blake, with David Gregory as his assistant Tinker, and Heather Chason as his secretary Paula Dane, in a series of case histories by Donald Stewart. Today's episode is called The Eight Swords.
Tinker, where's Paula?
She hasn't come back yet, Governor.
How long, for heaven's sake, does it take to get her hair done?
Well, not usually as low as this.
If you had a short back and size, you wouldn't need to go so often. Where does she go, do you know?
Well, that place in Beer Street, Maison Francois.
Ring him up and find out what's happened. It can't take all this time. Sexton Blake speaking. Paula, where the hell have you been? What? Who was she? I see. Well, that's understandable in the circumstances. Look here, I'll come round. Yes, at once. Be with you in a few minutes. We're going round to Maison Francois.
Well, what's all the excitement about?
Virginia Kay died in the salon.
What, a film star?
Yes.
What was it, heart attack?
It doesn't seem to be very clear. The police are detaining everybody, including Paula.
The police?
Death and the law. Come on, we better go and find out what it's all about.
It's shattering, completely shattering. My nerves are simply screaming. Why did this woman have to die in my salon?
Well, perhaps she didn't have any choice.
Think of the publicity. And there's actually a journalist here, Miss Alison Lane of the Chronicle. She was in the next cubicle.
I suppose there are no details yet.
Apparently she was poisoned.
It's incredible, absolutely incredible.
Who sent for the police?
The doctor. He called a constable who got in touch with the police station. They sent an inspector. Then nobody was allowed to leave.
Oh, that's the inspector over there, isn't it?
Yes, the one talking to the doctor.
Oh, look who's just come in.
Chief Detective Inspector Coots.
You must think it's something pretty big to have dragged him in.
Blake, how did you get here?
Paula, she was having a hairdo when it happened.
Well, what did happen yet? AC shot me along to find out. Just said Virginia Kay had died from poison.
Who said the Chief Inspector?
Oh, film stars are VIPs.
I simply must sit down. I feel drained, absolutely drained.
You the proprietor, sir?
I'm so dreadfully upset I hardly know what I am. I'm going to my office. I really must be alone for a moment.
I shall want to see you, sir, after I've had a word with Inspector Martin.
Oh, dear, must you? I suppose you must. I feel so fragile.
No need to keep Paula here, is there, Coates?
No, no, of course not. Excuse me. Must see Martin.
Take Paula back to Berkeley Square, Tinker.
Oh, well, aren't you coming?
No, I think I'll hang on for a bit. I'm curious.
Well, I call that mean.
You'd better both have some tea on the way.
Oh, yes. There's that marvelous place in Piccadilly where they make those gorgeous eclairs.
Don't let her eat too many, Tinker.
I'll see she doesn't have more than one, Governor.
Oh.
It's Mr. Sexton Blake, isn't it? I'm Alison Lane of the Chronicle.
You do the woman's page, don't you?
Oh, don't tell me you read it, Mr. Blake.
I get a précis from my secretary. Did you know Virginia Kay?
I did.
You didn't like her?
That'll be putting it mildly.
Oh, Blake.
Here comes the law.
This is Inspector Martin.
Glad to meet you, sir.
Can I phone my paper, Inspector?
Afraid not. No statement for the press yet. Now, while my sergeant deals with these women, I'll see Mr. Francois and get his statement. Had to come, Blake?
If I'm not in the way.
Oh, glad to have you. Detective Sergeant Hassett will want your statement with the rest, Miss Lane. Come on, Blake.
I don't know any of the details.
I don't know much myself. This woman, Virginia Kay, was found dead in one of the cubicles. What was the name of the girl who found her, Martin?
Lucille Cartier, sir. She's one of the assistants here.
Yeah, we'll see her after Francois. Where is she?
In the staff room. She had a bit of a shock.
Not surprising. Ah, here's the office.
Oh, dear. Just a moment, please. I suppose you'd better come in. I'm simply a mass of nerves.
We won't worry you more than we can help, sir. I'd like your account of what happened.
It was a ghastly experience, simply ghastly. I nearly swooned when Lucille called me into the cubicle.
Miss Kay was dead?
Well, of course, I wasn't sure. But her face was quite blue, a dreadful purplish blue. I sent for a doctor at once.
He diagnosed death from cyanide poisoning.
A most abrupt, unsympathetic man.
Virginia Kay was a regular customer?
Oh, no. This was only her second appointment.
Why was she alone in the cubicle?
She'd had a shampoo. She was under the dryer, waiting to be dressed out.
Did you do the shampoo, sir?
Good gracious, no. I always leave shampoos and sets to my assistants. I only do actual styling. I'm a creative artist.
Quiet. Will you fetch the girl who found the dead woman, Inspector Martin, please?
Yes, sir.
Is there anything else you can tell us, Mr. Francois?
I can't tell you anything. It's quite incomprehensible to me.
Is it known how the cyanide was taken or administered?
The doctor thinks it was in a cup of tea.
All my clients are given a cup of tea in the afternoon.
Who makes it?
An apprentice, usually. We have two, My assistants are always far too busy.
Here's the young lady, sir.
And sit down, Miss Cartier. Oh. Give her a chair, Martin.
Of course, sir.
Now, just tell us what happened.
I gave Miss Kay a shampoo and put her under the dryer. Then I left her while I combed out another client.
Was she quite normal? I mean, did she seem depressed or worried at all?
I didn't notice anything. I'd only seen her once before.
I see. Go on, Miss Cartier.
When I came back to her, about 20 minutes later, she looked dreadful. Such a strange colour. She didn't answer when I spoke to her. I thought she'd had a fit or something. I called Monsieur Francois.
Where was the cup of tea?
On the edge of the basin.
Within her reach?
Yes.
She'd drunk the tea?
Not all of it. The cup was nearly half full.
Yeah, we've got it, sir, for analysis. There was something else, wasn't there, miss?
You mean the card? Yes, that was on the floor.
I'd like you to look at this, Blake. Maybe you can tell us what it is. Never seen anything like it before.
Right, I suppose you have, Coots. A picture of eight swords arranged in the form of a star with a wavy blue line bisecting the figure.
Well, what is it?
The eight of swords, part of a pack of tarot cards.
Tarot cards? What are they? A game?
Hardly a game. The tarot consists of a pack of 78 cards, some of them rather grim and horrible. 22 are called Major Arcana and 56 Minor Arcana. The Minor Arcana are divided into four series, like the clubs, diamonds, hearts and spades of ordinary playing cards. But in the tarot pack, they're called...
Rods, cups, pence and swords.
You know all about it, Monsieur Francois. Interesting. Knowledge of the tarot pack is quite rare.
What's it used for?
A kind of glorified fortune-telling, but there's much more to it than that. It figures prominently in a number of magical rites.
Well, never mind all that, Blake. Does this particular card mean anything?
Two swords on the waterline, three above, three below. What would you say it meant, Monsieur Francois?
Well, really, you know, I couldn't say.
Oh, I think you could, if you wanted to.
I always think that that kind of thing is so much better left alone.
Do you know what this sort of thing means, Blake?
In the language of the tarot, it means condemning justice. In modern vernacular, you've got what was coming to you.
Confusing, isn't it? I mean, there's nothing to show whether it was suicide or murder.
But would even a film star go to a hairdresser to commit suicide?
Was the cyanide in the tea?
Yes, quite a large quantity.
She could have put it in herself.
I suppose she could.
But you don't think she did?
Cyanide's a very quick-acting poison. Its effect is practically instantaneous.
Well, then?
The cup, still half full of tea, was found on the marble surround of the basin. I doubt if she could have put it there, certainly not without spilling it. I'm almost sure she'd have dropped it.
Which means that somebody must have been with her when she drank it.
That does seem to be the obvious conclusion.
Then it must have been murder.
Not necessarily.
Well, I don't get it, Governor. If the poison acted at once and there was somebody there, they must have seen she was ill. Why didn't they give the alarm?
Well, perhaps they were scared in case they might be blamed.
Who took the tea into her?
Nobody seems to know.
Well, wasn't it the same person who took the tea into the others?
Well, apparently not. That was a girl named Molly, an apprentice. She made the tea and took it round on a trolley, one cup for each customer. Sometimes the customer's in the middle of a tricky bit and the tea's left on the trolley to the convenient moment. And then, of course, somebody else takes it in when they're ready.
But nobody's admitted doing it.
No.
Oh, well, it's not our pigeon anyway, Gov.
Oh, you must be joking.
It interests me. That tarot card makes it unique.
See what I mean?
I might have guessed. Look here, Governor, what about all our other work? We've got three separate inquiries already.
I will fit them all in, don't worry.
Oh, I can see myself being reduced to skin and bone.
Not after those eclairs. You gobbled three while I wasn't looking.
Well, you shouldn't have been watching that blonde in the miniskirt.
Miniskirt? Huh. That one was practically minus.
I'll take it. Sexton Blake. Hello, Coots. How's it going? Was she? Did you find any? I see. That complicates things, doesn't it? It means that anybody could have poisoned her. It's no longer confined to someone who was in the salon, is it? Yes, do that. I'm going out, but I shall be back before 10. You can have a nice stiff scotch to cheer you up. Bye for now. Virginia Kay was a diabetic. She didn't take sugar. She used saccharin. They found a little box of tablets in her handbag. Coots is getting them analyzed.
You mean somebody could have substituted cyanide for the saccharin?
Somebody who wasn't even near Maison Francois this afternoon. But there's a lot against that theory. It doesn't explain that tarot card.
Well, that might have belonged to Virginia Kay herself.
It hardly seems likely that she'd carry one tarot card about with her. You'd better go home, Paul, and get a good rest. You won't have much tomorrow.
Oh, it's going to be one of those days, is it?
Yes, I think it will be.
I think I was right about the skin and bone. And what are you going to do, Mr. Blake?
For the moment, I'm going to see Alison Lane. She didn't like the dead woman. I'd like to know why.
Well, I don't know who that's likely to be. You'd better go into the bedroom.
Yes. Oh, Mr. Blake.
I'm sorry to disturb you, Miss Lane. Perhaps you could spare me a few moments.
Oh, I'm very tired.
I won't keep you long.
You'd better come in, I suppose. If it's about Virginia Kay, I'm afraid I can't help you.
Oh, I'm sure you can tell me what I want to know, Miss Lane.
Assistant, aren't you? All right, come into the sitting room.
Thank you.
You like a drink?
No, thanks.
Don't mind if I have one.
Carry on.
Been quite a day. Now, what is it you're so sure I can tell you?
What Virginia Kay was really like. Not the public image, the real one.
You want me to be candid?
That's what I came for.
Undiluted bitch is the best description I can give you.
I see. How long had you known her?
Oh, since she was a hat-check girl at the Golden Fleece Club.
That's been closed for a good many years now.
She wasn't a chicken, you know. Getting on for 40. The same as I am.
Kay wasn't her real name, of course.
She collected several. She was married 4 times. She started life as Ellen Grigg.
You've got to hand it to her. She pulled herself out of the rut.
She blackmailed herself out of it, you mean?
Huh.
It's not very difficult if you're ruthless enough. When she wanted something, she got it, and she didn't care how. With her looks and figure, it was easy.
Men.
There was an elderly businessman who used to come to the club. He went into a flat spin about her. He had a wife and 2 grown-up sons.
She threatened to tell the family.
That was her first success. Got her out of the Golden Fleece. The next episode was worse. There was something in the government. Also married. Had a daughter. He committed suicide rather than face a scandal.
Virginia Kay's name wasn't mentioned.
She wasn't Virginia Kay then, you know. Her first marriage was to an American who was over here, a small-time film director. That got her to Hollywood. She divorced him, married Paul Henty, the screenwriter. He pushed her into one of his films, and she blossomed into a star. She had talent, of a sort.
Paul Henty. He was killed in an accident, wasn't he?
Car crash. It served his purpose. 3 months after his death, she married Richard Walters, the star of her latest picture. It didn't last long. Her type was on the way out, so she came to England.
Who was her 4th husband?
A man named John Savile. She was still married to him when she died. That's about all, Mr. Blake.
Fairly comprehensive.
Part of my job is to keep tabs on people who are news.
Have you any personal reason for disliking the dead woman, Miss Lane?
I just dislike that type. Now, Mr. Blake, I'm really very tired.
Oh, yes, of course. Just 2 more questions. Do you know what the tarot is?
Virginia Kay could have told you all about that.
Could she? That's interesting.
What's the other question?
Do you know John Savile?
I have met him.
What sort of man is he?
That is 3 questions. I thought he was quite nice.
Thank you, Miss Lane. Well, I won't bother you anymore.
Have the police any idea how it happened?
Well, I don't think they've completed their preliminary investigations yet. Well, good night, Miss Lane, and thanks for your help.
Good night, Mr. Blake. All right, John. He's gone. You can come out now.
There, here you are, Coot. Sink that and relax.
Thanks. That's good. It's not before to get to bed.
Cigar?
Oh, thank you. First time I've had a chance to sit down.
Now, what's the latest?
Clean bill for those saccharine tablets.
No trace of cyanide?
Not the smell of it. Must have been somebody in the salon. Enough in the remains of the tea to kill a dozen people.
You haven't found out who gave it to her?
No. Unless it was that apprentice girl, Molly Peters. She swears blind she left it on the trolley.
What about Lucille Cartier?
She denies even seeing the tea on the trolley. She was busy with another customer.
Somebody gave that tea to Virginia Kay. I'd like to know how they distinguish between the people who took sugar and those who didn't.
That point struck me. Simple explanation. Tea with sugar had spooned in the saucer.
Of course. There was no spoon in the dead woman's saucer. I noted that. Alison Lane was in the next cubicle to Kay. Who gave her tea?
She didn't have any.
Why?
She said she didn't want any.
Then there should have been 2 cups of tea on that trolley. One for Alison Lane and 1 for Virginia Kay. Did you check on that?
Yes. Nobody seems to be certain about it. That card, the sword thing, came from a pack belonging to the dead woman.
You're sure of that?
Her housekeeper recognized it. Says she used to sit for hours playing a kind of patience and telling her fortune. That card was missing from the pack when we looked.
So Virginia Kay took it to the salon herself.
Well, she must have done. Her name was Savile, you know.
Did you see her husband?
Yes. Quiet sort of chap. Didn't live with his wife. Got a service flat in Jermyn Street. They didn't hit it off, from what I can gather.
What's he do for a living?
Writes. Published a couple of novels. Not very successful.
Does he inherit the Kay money?
Don't know yet. Haven't had time to go into it. Got an appointment with the solicitors in the morning.
And what about all the other people who are in the salon?
On the face of it, nothing to connect them with Virginia Kay at all. We'll go into their histories more deeply, of course. Trouble is, Blake, we can't be certain that it wasn't suicide.
There's always the possibility, of course.
Doesn't seem to be a vestige of a motive of either suicide or murder. Oh, well, I better be off. Got to be at the yard early. Must snatch a few hours of sleep. Thanks for the hospitality.
If I get any ideas, I'll be in touch.
Do. Night, Blake.
Good night.
Hello, Paula. Go in here. You've only just got here.
And what's more, I won't be back for a month.
What?
Take a look at this list and you'll see what I mean.
Oh, I say. Did the governor give you all this lot?
He did. I found it on my desk when I came in.
Yeah, he left very early this morning before I got up.
Well, I'm glad to hear that someone else in the firm is doing a little work.
Well, the governor said you were going to have a busy day.
That is the understatement of the year. How on earth does he expect me to cram all this into one day?
Oh, I'm sure you'll manage it somehow. You always do.
Flogging a willing horse, that's what it is. Lucky for him, I don't belong to a union.
You're wasting an awful lot of time chattering.
Oh, all right, I'm going. Oh, where's my bag?
Oh, over there. Good luck.
I shall need it. The things a girl has to do to earn a living.
Well, I'll tell the governor you're going to resign.
You won't need to. By the time I get through this list, I shall be drawing my pension.
Mr. Saxon Blake's residence? No, he isn't in. This is his assistant speaking. Can I take a message? Well, who is that? Well, can't you leave your name? Oh, I see. Odd. Oh, now who's there?
Good morning. Can I see Mr. Sexton Blake?
Oh, I'm afraid the governor isn't in at the moment.
Will he be long, do you think? It's about the death of Miss Virginia Kay. My name is Saville. John Saville.
Sorry I missed him, Tinker. Rather funny, really. I called at his flat.
Well, he's coming back, Governor. Seemed very anxious to see you. Virginia Kay's husband, isn't he?
Was, yes. He gets all the money, and it's quite a bit. I've seen her solicitors. Lucky for Saville, she refused to divorce him. Wouldn't have got the money if she had. She hadn't made a will.
So he gets the boodle automatically?
As next of kin, yes. It's a funny thing. She just used men for her own ends all her life, but apparently she was genuinely in love with Saville.
But it didn't work out?
No.
That'd be a motive for suicide. Well, if he wanted a divorce.
I don't think it was suicide, Tinker. Virginia Kay wasn't the type. She was a fighter. Perhaps not a fair fighter, but a fighter.
What was the trouble? Another woman?
Yes, Alison Lane.
The journalist? Well, she was at the salon.
In the next cubicle, too.
Well, there you are. Motive, opportunity, the lot.
I've told you before not to jump to conclusions.
Well, see, it's pretty obvious to me, Governor. Well, how did you get onto this affair between Alison Lane and Saville?
It's Splash Kirby. There isn't much you can keep secret from Fleet Street, particularly since Alison Lane works there.
Oh, I bet old Coots is onto it like a homing pigeon. Oh, that reminds me. There was a strange telephone call for you.
How is it strange?
Well, some woman rang up. She wanted to speak to you. She wouldn't leave a message or her name.
And when was this?
Well, just before Saville turned up.
What does she sound like? Young?
Well, young. A bit incoherent and rather scared.
Scared? Did she say she'd ring again?
No. No, I thought she sounded relieved that you weren't here. As if she'd screwed up enough courage to ring at all. Well, that could be Saville.
If it is, show him in.
Mr. Blake in yet?
Yes, will you come in, Mr. Saville?
Thank you.
The governor's in here.
Oh, sit down, Mr. Saville. I'm glad you called. I rather wanted to see you.
About this dreadful business of my wife's death, Mr. Blake.
Yes. That's what you wanted to see me about, isn't it?
I'm afraid it's nothing very helpful, Mr. Blake. The whole thing is a complete mystery to me.
How did you know I was connected with it? Did Miss Lane tell you?
Actually, I was at Miss Lane's flat when you called last night.
I see. I wonder who'd use the other glass.
The other glass?
On the small table by the settee, Miss Lane would hardly be using two small glasses for herself, would she?
I went round to see Miss Lane about Virginia. She was in that hairdressing place when it happened.
You thought it was better to keep out of the way when I arrived?
I didn't want to give a wrong impression. My presence might have suggested that there was, well, an affair going on between us.
Wasn't there?
No, Mr. Blake, there was not.
But you were anxious for your wife to divorce you. Wasn't that because of Miss Lane?
I wanted to marry Alison. That's quite different from having an affair with her.
Did your wife know that you wanted to marry Miss Lane?
Yes.
But she wouldn't divorce you?
No. She said I was her husband and I was going to stay her husband, whether I liked it or not.
Why did you marry her, Mr. Saville?
I suppose I was infatuated. Perhaps it was conceit. She was famous and very beautiful. There were loads of men after her. It appealed to my vanity that she was obviously attracted to me.
I understand that she was very deeply in love with you.
I doubt that. Virginia was extremely emotional, but I don't think she felt anything deeply. But she hated letting go of losing anything that belonged to her. I don't know if you understand what I mean.
I think I do.
She was very possessive. One had to live her way. Well, she wasn't mean, not as regards money, but she was mean in other ways. I dislike having to say all this, but it's essential. I had no life of my own, Mr. Blake. That's why I had to leave her. I was being stifled.
And you'd fallen in love with Miss Lane?
No, I hadn't met Miss Lane then. I wanted to be free, to be able to do as I like, not to have my life arranged for me.
You'll be able to do anything you want now, Mr. Saville. Your wife was a very rich woman.
I have no intention of touching a penny of her money, Mr. Blake.
Does Miss Lane know this?
What exactly do you mean by that?
Have you told Miss Lane of your intentions?
Not yet. I only knew this morning that this money would come to me. I'm sure that Alison will agree with me.
Women don't always see these things in the same way. And tell me, after you'd left your wife, did you often see her? I mean, were you still more or less on friendly terms?
I wouldn't call them exactly friendly. She did her utmost to get me to go back.
Did she blame Miss Lane because you wouldn't?
It wasn't Miss Lane's fault at all. If I'd never met Alison, it would have been the same.
But your wife didn't believe that.
No, she didn't understand at all.
Why did you come to see me, Mr. Saville?
I'm worried. If the police get hold of all this, Alison was there, you see, at the time.
And you're afraid they'll think she poisoned your wife?
It's quite ridiculous. Of course, Alison wouldn't harm anyone.
What do you expect me to do?
Well, find out what really happened. Did Virginia take that stuff herself?
Do you think she did?
I don't know what to think. I can't imagine her doing it, but if she didn't, who did give it to her?
Are you quite sure you want to know?
What do you mean? You can't mean that Alison...
You admitted just now that that was what was worrying you, Mr. Saville.
Well, not that she did it, only that the police might think she did. That's why I'm asking you to find out the truth.
At the moment, there are only two people known to have had a motive. Miss Lane and you.
Me? But I wasn't near the place that afternoon. How could
Miss Lane was. It could be thought that you'd planned it together.
I'm back.
How'd you get on, Paula?
Oh, so sit down. I'm a mere shadow of my former self.
Oh, I can't see any difference.
Your finer perceptions must have become blunted. Well, where's Mr. Blake? Don't tell me he's out.
Oh, he's in the lab. I'll give him a buzz.
Oh, you needn't bother. He's coming now.
Hello, Paula. I thought I heard you come in. Tired?
Exhausted.
Let's hear what you've got.
Well, you're going to get a surprise. I think I've got the answer. First of all, I checked up on Virginia Kay. She was all you said she was in those notes you left behind, and a bit more. A really nasty bit of work. My sympathies are all with the person who poisoned that tea.
Come to the point.
Now, the man who committed suicide, the one in the government, had a wife and a daughter. The wife's dead, but the daughter is Lucille Cartier.
The girl who works in the salon.
Her real name is Lucy Hardcastle. She called herself Lucille Cartier because she... Well, when she became a hairdresser, it sounded more, well, French, you know.
Well, that settles it. She had the motive.
And the opportunity.
You've done extremely well, Paula.
Thank you.
Lucille Cartier would have finished at Maison Francois now, wouldn't she?
Oh, yes, they'll be closed by now.
Get the car, Tinker. We'll go to her flat. I've got the address. It's somewhere in Kensington.
Oh, but don't you want to hear about the rest of my...
Later. Efforts? We'll deal with this first. You can go home now and wallow in a hot bath.
Thank you. I think you might have chosen a nicer way of putting it.
Oh, I didn't expect anyone, Mr. Blake. It is Mr. Blake, isn't it?
It is, Miss Hardcastle.
You know...
We could talk more easily inside, don't you think?
Yes, of course. I'm sorry. It's only a flatlet, just this room and a little kitchenette and bathroom.
I don't mind if you don't.
Please sit down.
Oh, thank you.
How did you know my name is Hardcastle?
Does that matter? It is, isn't it? Your father was Gregory Hardcastle.
I was afraid that might come out.
And show that you had a motive for killing Virginia Kay.
Yes. But I didn't kill her.
You hated her because she was responsible for the death of your father. That's right, isn't it?
Not quite. I used to hate her. But it sort of faded.
Didn't it revive when she came to the salon?
No, not really. It was a shock to have her there under my hands. No, the hatred had gone. It was only dislike.
She wasn't a regular client of Maison Francois, was she?
No, it was only her second visit.
Miss Hardcastle, what are you keeping back?
Keeping back?
You haven't told us everything you know about that afternoon, have you?
I was going to tell you. I rang up to tell you, but you were out.
Oh, that was you, was it? Why didn't you ring again?
I was afraid. I forced myself to ring the first time. It seemed as if I wasn't meant to tell you.
To tell me what?
I can't tell you anymore. I can't.
You prefer to let me think that you poisoned Virginia Kay.
No, no, I didn't. I swear to you I didn't, but...
Go on. You might as well tell me everything.
I gave her the tea.
You did?
I came to comb her out. The tea was on the trolley. I took it into her. She was looking at that card and smiling. She drank some of the tea. Oh, it was horrible. Horrible. She choked and her face went all contorted. She'd have dropped the cup if I hadn't taken it and put it on the basin.
You actually saw her die?
Yes. I didn't know she was dead. I went for Mr. Francois. I told him I'd found her like
You were
that.
Afraid to say you'd given her the tea in case you were suspected.
Yes.
But when you went to fetch Francois, you didn't know she'd been poisoned.
I didn't know, but I guessed that there must have been something wrong with the tea. Don't you understand? She'd been the cause of my father committing suicide.
Yes, I can see your point, but I wish you'd told the truth at the beginning. Was Virginia Kay under the dryer when you gave her the tea?
Not properly. She'd pushed it up.
Had she? Oh, thank you, Miss Hardcastle.
Are you telling me, Blake, that it was an accident?
It was an accident that Virginia Kay died. The poison was intended for Alison Lane.
Alison Lane?
Yes, Virginia Kay was determined to get her husband back. She was madly in love with him in her own peculiar way. She believed that if Alison Lane were out of the way, she'd get him back, so she hatched her little plot.
I still don't understand, Blake.
Oh, well, it's quite simple. She knew that Alison was a client of Maison Francois. She'd heard from a friend that tea was served to all customers during the afternoon. She booked an appointment to see exactly how it was served. That was her first appointment. On her second appointment, she knew Alison Lane would be there, and she put her plan into action.
You mean she slipped out of her cubicle and put cyanide in the tea intended for Miss Lane?
In the cup she thought was intended for Miss Lane. She didn't know that Alison Lane had told that apprentice Molly that she didn't want the tea that afternoon.
So she actually poisoned her own tea. But there were two cups on the trolley. How did she know which one was Alison's?
There was a spoon in the saucer for those who took sugar. Remember? Her own tea had no spoon.
What happened to the other cup of tea, Governor? The one Virginia Kay should have had.
Your luck stepped in, or bad luck, depending on the way you look at it. Molly was a cup of tea short that day, and it was for a client who didn't take sugar.
So she took the cup that was intended for Virginia Kay and gave it to this other person.
Exactly, leaving the poison tea on the trolley.
Which Lucille took into Virginia Kay.
Why the devil didn't Molly say she'd taken a cup of tea off the trolley?
For the same reason that Lucille held out on us. She was scared. You ought to know, Coots, the witnesses are always hiding something. Sometimes, quite unintentionally.
You're quite right there. What about that card, the Eight Swords? How does that come into it?
I think Virginia Kay read the tarot for Alison Lane's fortune, and the Eight of Swords covered her.
You've got what's coming to you. Only it was a Virginia Kay who got it. If Molly pinched the cup of tea without the spoon in the saucer, what happened to the spoon in Virginia Kay's saucer, Guff?
Oh. Oh, I've just remembered.
What?
Well, there was a spoon on the floor of the salon, and... Well, I picked it up while all the excitement was going on and put it on a window ledge.
Paula, do remember, you're supposed to be on our side.
That story in our Sexton Blake series was called The Eight Swords and was written by Donald Stewart. William Franklin was Sexton Blake, David Gregory, Tinker, and Heather Chason, Paula. Monsieur Francois was played by Eric Sutton. Detective Chief Inspector Coots by Wilfred Babbage. Alison Lane, Gudrun Ure. Inspector Martin and John Saville, Derek Seaton. And Lucille Cartier was played by Beth Boyd. The series was devised for radio by Philip Ridgway and produced by Alistair Scott Johnston.